fait intéressant.
Thank you so much, Isabel, for that kind presentation. And I also want to start by thanking Sebastian for giving me the chance of presenting some work relating to a project that I'm part of, as well as other researchers at KDH. No worries. And some other researchers at the KDH Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm. That project is named Views from a Distance. I could also mention, while we load this, that Views from a Distance looks at remote sensing technologies and the perception of Earth. And we have funding from the Swedish Research Council for the coming 3 years and look forward to any further collaborations. And since Sebastian was kind enough to give me a general title from a presentation, which you can find in the program as Technology, Satellite Imagery and Environment, I now return that gesture with a more specific title, which is the Allegiance of Spot, Changing Uses of Remote Sensing Satellites. So I will try to continue the discussion that, that Leandro opened up about commercial remote sensing and the becoming of a community and the users of seeing environment. But first, some definitions. I can move on, it's fine. Thank you. By the term remote sensing, I refer to technology for analyzing conditions and phenomena on Earth and in the atmospheres from a distance. And satellite imagery is such a technology that produces large quantities of data at transcending scales, which is continually updated and have many different application areas, for example, from land use to sea ice extent. And in this presentation, I will focus on SPOT, the acronym for Système pour l'observation de la Terre. The remote sensing of SPOT involves two identical high-resolution visible telescopes for taking either panchromatic pictures transmitted in black and white at a resolution of 10 meters, or the multispectral image of green, red, and blue near infrared, which corresponds to radiation emitted by vegetation and in color at a resolution of 20 meters. The scenes produced by SPOT are 600 square kilometers and will thus have amassed a scanning of the entire Earth in 26 days. So, the production of remote sensing images, or rather the chain of production, involves several processes. We have here a conceptualization and definition of a problem area, the choosing of equipment and the gathering of political support for the project, deciding on data sets to be used, and eventually a launch of the satellite itself. Then you have the management of data, which is gathered, and the presentation of coherent images. So the production chain involves several actors and stretches over varying time frames, some including several decades. By analyzing the decisions, methods, funding, and the technologies which enter into an assembly of these type of Earth imagery, I seek to study both the political and social conditions involved in when environment is translated or situated as global images. So the chain refers to networks of people, instruments, data, and of course the satellite itself. This is important and useful because it reveals how applications could be planned for, but also discovered serendipitously, and that the process of constructing an environment from satellite data involves a renegotiation of the networks involved. So what does images do for remote sensing satellites? That's the initial question that we have seeked to answer. To pursue this question, I have studied the decision-making of the Swedish Space Corporation, short for SSC, and the Swedish Board for Space Activities, SBSA, in their development of the commercial remote sensing satellite SPOT, together with the French organization Centre National d'Etudes Spatiales, or CNES. The source material visited so far... Oh, sorry. The source material visited so far include written letters between former CEOs and decision makers, government bills, speeches, promemorias, investigations made by SSE and SBSA, as well as other Swedish departments and the French Space Agency. Though ownership of Spot remained firmly in the hands of CNES and France, SSC were able, in the course of its development and eventual usage, to acquire a user's interpretation of the data that far extended, as I argue, in a way which no of the actors in the beginning could have envisioned. And yesterday, Sebastian mentioned or framed the problem of images, perhaps also the paradox of images, that they both have a strong and weak meaning. So we must then ask ourselves the question, why is it that ownership of images does not also secure control of their usage and meaning? That is the follow-up question from the first one, obviously. I will try to limit this to a specific period in time for Spot, namely the period when it was launched into orbit on the 22nd February in 1986, and to expand only briefly on events predating and following upon Spot becoming operational. And from these events, I will exemplify how usage of Spot became more important than than the production of the data, which the title suggests is a matter of allegiance of Spot. So, the crisis and possibilities. The European Space Agency, or short ESA, was formed in 1972 as part of a series of crises and possibilities. And it, in its wake, followed the framework for national space programs of its various member nations. With the detente, or the cooling of the Cold War, commercialization of space was argued by several nations, among these Sweden and France, to be both possible and necessary. For example, development of rocket technology and launch infrastructure did not have to carry the military connotations it previously did when the US and USSR were in a stalemate. And they were also able to use environmental concerns of the 1970s for making compelling mission descriptions, as was used for Spot. Now, the Swedish Space Corporation and its research funder entered disfavorable conditions after a period of desert wandering, as was labeled by Jan Stiernstedt, the head administrator of SPSA, until the late 1980s. Desert wandering alludes to a lack of resources and interest for space enterprises in Sweden among politicians. But this was also the conditions in other parts of Europe. So several of the Swedish space engineers had been around since the 1950s when these were young students and part of Sweden's initial space projects. And they went on to form a team of engineers and decision makers heading both the SSC and SBSA, and these were formed in 1972. So Spot was at this point a French project being toured around Europe looking for other interests. And they had to get another national space program on board, not so much in terms of funding, but to legitimize it, or rather Europeanize the project of Spot. Spot, as we know from the acronym Système pour l'Observation de la Terre, was sometimes referred within the SSC as Satellite pour Occuper Toulouse, that is, an elaborate employment plan to use a future in space to solve industrial and employment issues right now on the ground. This regional employment aspect also existed in Sweden. With the establishment of the downlinking station S-Range, short for European Space Range, in Kiruna of northern Sweden, as a means for solving or alleviating the structural crisis industry had suffered since mid-1970s. So, SSC are able to use the political will of the Swedish government to directly influence Swedish framing of commercial space. For example, they wrote the speech for the newly appointed space minister, Olof Johansson, who participated in the ESA minister meetings, and he was also instructed to vote for a collaboration with Spot. In the end, it was only Olof who raised his hand at that meeting. But Sweden went ahead and committed to Spot on a 4% satellite ownership, that is, the rest going to CNES and France, and eventually also when Belgium joined the collaboration, but they played a minor part in terms of this story that I want to tell. The engineer networks between SSC and CNES allowed for a Paris-Stockholm axis to develop, built on a series of previous collaborations and the prospect of still larger joint enterprises. And this is just a list of some of the collaborations signed. So, all of the markets for commercial remote sensing did not exist as of this moment in time, in 1978. The Swedish government had become confident that these would emerge. And consequently, in the time frame 1979 to 1985, SSC received vastly increased funding as a concerted effort for developing and demonstrating the importance of remote sensing. This space push is an industrial aid to fulfill this potential as a commercial tool marketed both as development aid and as environmental surveillance. And up until 1986, it is primarily the application areas and ownership that is discussed within the Paris-Stockholm axis collaboration. Now, the initial agreement from 1978 is supplemented over time, first in 1981, as CNES realizes it needs S-Range for downlinking and processing data. S-Range had been used since 1978 for downlinking Landsat data for the Americans as well. But this additional treaty meant that Sweden acquired first access to most of the spot data, although they did not own or hold copyright to all that data. And also, the increased usage of S-Range motivates SSC to establish its own subsidiary company, that is Satellitbild, for refining, marketing, and selling remote sensing images. Regulations and intellectual property rights had to be negotiated and developed without little pre-existing work or framework in place. And one solution was this co-ownership of subsidiary companies, a sort of inbreeding of all the commercial remote sensing enterprises to both exemplify and assure a shared interest in Europe. Now, CNES owned copyright to the images, but manipulation of data was still possible for SSC, and since downlinking was possible from S-Range, SSC could use data and sell it, and were also keen to develop their own know-how of usage in particular, ahead of anybody else, including France. The initial 4% Swedish ownership that I mentioned in Spot hid a larger potential in the usage of data, and it's indicative of this usage of Spot imagery. And I want to use the image from Chernobyl nuclear meltdown in 1986 to make this argument. Since late April, the nuclear accident in Soviet Ukraine near Chernobyl had been known from readings in Sweden and also from thermal imagery of Landsat. But conclusive evidence of the power plant could only be secured once Spot could make a comparison between temperature differences in the artificial lake outside of Chernobyl. So from March to May, a juxtaposition could be made to show that the power plant now was offline and obviously blown out. But it was SSC, not CNES, who made this imagery available to media on the 1st of May, 1986. So between the traffic of visiting journalists in S-Range Kiruna, the CEO of Spot Image, Philippe Renault, calls up his colleague Karin Lindholm at Satellitbild to congratulate her and SSC on the best marketing material ever for the usage of Spot data, saying, "We had planned to do this ourselves, but it's holiday in France," whereupon Lindholm retorts, "It's holiday in Sweden too, but we did it anyway." And SSC continued this course of action, developing means to compete on an international market using Spot as a Swedish rather than the bi- and trilateral collaboration satellite that Spot actually was. Sweden developed its own image processing system, EBA, and embarked on marketing campaigns for developing countries selling total projects, which were to develop everything from the infrastructure and hardware to usage and education about remote sensing. So it is possible to argue that remote sensing was relevant for developing countries and in their own interest. But we have also the situation that European countries were less inclined to adopt the technology themselves, as it challenged pre-existing systems and usages. Europe already had a long tradition of cartography. Many areas were mapped, and they also had aerial remote sensing, which could fulfill most pressing needs. Whereas large parts of the developing world, Asia and Africa, did not have the same coverage, but could buy into remote sensing imagery to acquire this. So SSC marketing is, regardless of part of demonstrating remote sensing and constructing a market need as a means for solving Sweden's own industrial crisis by innovating this new sector and the jobs. The result is systematic work for expanding markets, exploiting usage, existing opportunities when possible, and innovating additional ones when necessary. So, for example, the payment for projects in Ethiopia, Indonesia, Pakistan, India were not funded by themselves, but by development aid projects and loans. Now, we have seen some content on the background of the spot and also the application after it launched. However, 1986 was itself a late date for launching Spot. Initial deadlines had been set to 1984, but the launch rocket Ariane remained too unreliable to be shot up. The infrastructural investment in S-Range meant a large workforce in Sweden relying on Spot data to produce the products which Satellite Build, the subsidiary company of SSC, were to sell internationally. And already the postponing of the launch of Spot had left the workforce of 50 Swedish engineers working on simulations for 1.5 years. That is no proper work or profit, for that matter, coming out of S-Range. So not having any results to show for meant that demands from Swedish government on seeing return on investment made national budget cuts a negotiation between skepticism and belief in the potential of commercial remote sensing. So this will to use Spot data is what makes us understand what the former CEO of SSC, Claes-Göran Borg, meant when he said that when Spot eventually was launched on the 22nd February 1986, it was the most exciting thing of his entire life, because so much hinged on that. So partially because we have basically most of the Swedish space history hinging on this successful mission. When the SSC and CNES eventually develop images from Spot data, what did the image do for Spot? Returning to our initial question. What happened once the data had been processed into Earth imagery? We already see some examples of this relating to Chernobyl and the development of aid projects invented and serviced by SSC throughout the late 1980s. But the major difference was that the problem areas of Spot was being conceptualized differently within SSC before and after the launch of Spot 1986. Now, that data was processed, interpreted, and imagery produced, you still do not have a host of contractors waiting at the door of SSC to buy these images. Instead, meetings and plans were increasingly dedicated to discuss how to increase user knowledge of remote sensing. New strategies were outlined on how to get industry, institutions, departments to be educated and trained in using remote sensing applications. PMs drafted by SSC and SPSA had to elaborate after launch how the problem area had changed, and previous emphasis on the quality of instruments towards interpretation were now pushed towards looking at who was actually the user. So the quote here is part of that PM. And a caveat that I want to raise is that we should note that there existed accounts of the importance of consumers and usage previous, already in 1976 in reports by SSC. But the importance of the user and interpretation is stressed persistently and with increased elaboration and detail only after the launch of Spot in 1986, when more is understood of how Spot data and Earth imagery are appropriated. I want to read some parts of the... How are we with time, Isabel?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay, great. In that case, I'm going to read this whole quote because I think it's great. This is how novel the user focus was in 1986. Direct use of the technology can be facilitated by so-called user-friendly software. The increased capacity of personal computers have already enabled interesting solutions to be tried out. For example, you nowadays work with pointing on the screen using a rollerball or mouse instead of writing commands on a keyboard. By clicking on a button on the mouse, you can select fields in menus, open windows on the screen, etc. Some of these ideas should also be tried in systems for analyzing remote sensing data. So what SSC is describing here, step by step, is the logic of using this. And the description is indicative of how novel the usage of digital data was back in 1986. It's not the ownership of this technology, but rather its usage that makes it powerful. The continued efforts to market, educate, and sell total projects to developing countries was part of introducing not just a technology, but also what makes Spot function as a foreign policy instrument and turning the developing world into consumers. There was enough data to be sure, but just not enough knowledge on the ground to make use of this. I wish then to briefly mention here that there are several narratives written by Swedish space engineers themselves, which today stands for a self-understanding of Swedish space as being ahead of time in their development of commercial remote sensing. And although remote sensing was believed to be a technological system that could visualize environmental processes at a time when environment was increasingly becoming a concern, it has in hindsight been described as ahead of time. And being ahead of time would then in fact be what renegotiation of problem areas look like, of realizing one way or another that the goals have changed and as you understand what the actual problem is. And in this case, it would be who the user of remote sensing technology was. So to conclude, this presentation, and before moving on to our subsequent discussions, and after that, the subsequent lunch, I argue that there is an element of serendipity that illustrates how the interpretation of spot data, rather than its ownership, proved useful. And the second point is that it involved a renegotiation of networks central to the usage of Spot as a commercial remote sensing satellite. SSC, in its role of a network of experts, had a chain of production, mainly including themselves, and only later involved the needs and ideas of other users. It is not a story about whether Sweden was a visionary or opportunistic, or both, in its dealings with Spot and CNES and France, but how they, through usage, acquired power over a foreign artifact and by not adequately creating means for other users, suffocated the application of that very same artifact. I will stop there.